In the book of Lamentations, chapter 3, from verse 21 to verse 26. In verse 21 through verse 26. This I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope. It is of the Lord's mercy that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul, therefore will I hope in him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. Heavenly Father, we ask this evening again, Lord, that thy will to be done. Lord, we ask that as we work our way through this book, Lord, that you would teach us, guide us, Lord, that you speak to our hearts. And Lord, help us to learn things that we need in our Christian life. For it's in Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. This is our second message in this chapter, the 10th in the book. Last time we met, we were talking about in verse 1 through verse 20, covered several verses, the bitterness of the soul. And this evening, we want to consider the positive side of God's chastening. I've titled this, God's Mercy and Faithfulness. Keep in mind that the book of Lamentations was written after the destruction of Jerusalem and Judea in 586 B.C. This is while the people were in captivity. And yet, this was said in response to God's promise. God had promised them that he would preserve them, that they would be in captivity for 70 years, and that they would go back and rebuild the city and rebuild the temple. He said that they would be preserved. They'd be a remnant preserved. And as God chastens his covenant people, according to this book, we find that he did this in mercy and in love and according to his faithfulness. Now notice in verse 21, rather, he said, and just kind of keep in mind what we had looked at before, the pouring out of the heart, the bitterness of the soul in verses 1 through 20. We'll pick that up again before we finish this chapter. But in verse 21, he said, "In this I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope." Now after all of the speaking of the darkness and the bitterness and all of the tragic things that have happened, we find Jeremiah saying here, "And this I recall to my mind." In other words, after pouring his heart out to God and bringing his petitions and even bringing his complaints before God, we find that he says here, "Now I remember." And it's not that he forgot about God, but it's that he's bringing the promises of the covenant God back to his mind and his heart. He's beginning to meditate on this thing. And so he says here in verse 21, "This I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope." So out of all the tragedy, out of all of the bitterness of the soul, and all of the pain, and the things that is going on, he says, as I think and meditate upon the God of heaven, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, he's saying here, I have hope. What is interesting is that Jeremiah was left in Jerusalem, and Jeremiah seen the destruction. Many of the others have been carried into captivity. And what is interesting is that when he says, I have hope, in other words, I have a fresh understanding of God and who that he is, and that he is a covenant-keeping God. We find that, as we look at this, that his circumstance has not changed. He stands before the ruin of Jerusalem and Judea. And his circumstance has not changed, but something has changed, his heart and his attitude. In other words, he changed his thinking. And it's okay to mourn. We all mourn at funerals. Those who are going through tragic things. There's nothing wrong with that. There's that time of mourning. But nothing changes. Jeremiah's circumstance never does not change at this time. Jerusalem is still destroyed. The temple is gone. Many have died, and the remnant has been carried into captivity in Babylon. And so his thinking changes, not his circumstances. This is one thing that we can learn from the story here in Lamentations. Now notice what he said in verse 21. He said, "This I call to my mind, therefore have I hope." I'll give you two passages to write down. One is Psalm 77, the entire chapter. We find that the entire chapter, the writer is crying out to the Lord for the things that have come into his life. And by the time you get halfway through that chapter, his thinking begins to change. He begins meditating upon the good things of God. So I'll challenge you to write that down and read that this week. I do want you to turn to the book of Job in chapter 40. The text in Psalm 77, he begins with, "I cried unto God with my voice, even unto God with my voice, and he gave ear unto me." As you come down to verse 11, he begins talking about, he said, I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember thy wonders of old. I will meditate also of thy works and talk of thy doings. Thy way, O God, is in the sanctuary, who is so great a God as our God. Wonderful chapter. It begins again with lamentation, and it ends with praising the Lord. Notice in Job chapter 40. I'm going to read a few verses from this chapter. And notice with me, I'm going to begin reading in verse 1 through 5, then drop down to verse 10. And we know that Job had spoken to the Lord about his bitterness of soul, the tragic things that came into his life, losing his wealth, losing his family, losing his own health. And he brought these petitions before the Lord. And when you begin reading in chapter 38, 39, 40, 41, you'll find that the Lord set Job down, basically told him to shut up, and he just asked Job a ton of questions that Job could not answer. And here's Job's response after the Lord set him down and began speaking to him. Here's Job's response. He said in verse 1, "Then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that thou canst do everything, and that no fault can be withholden from thee. Who is he that hideth counsel without knowledge? Therefore have I uttered that I understand not, things too wonderful for me, which I knew not." Verse 4, "Here I beseech thee, and I will speak, I will demand of thee, and declare thou unto me." Now notice verse 5, "I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now my eye seeth thee." So Job has went through all of this sufferings, all this pain, and none of it is wasted. There's a reason for all of it. Job was not living in sin. Job was serving God when these things came upon him. But there is a reason behind it all. One thing for sure, God proved to Satan that he had a man that would not forsake him. But as we come here, after God began speaking with Job and asked him all these questions, Job testified. He says, verse 5, "I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee." Now this is said before anything was ever restored to Job. See, when we began reading in verse 10, we find that Job, everything was restored to him, and even more so. But Job is given this testimony before anything's restored. Notice in verse 10, it says, "And the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. Also, the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before." He's already rich, but now he gets twice as much. In verse 11 it said, then came there unto him all his brethren and all his sisters and all they that had been of his acquaintance before, and did eat bread with him in his house, and they bemoaned him and comforted him over all the evil that the Lord had brought upon him. Everyone also gave him a piece of money, and everyone an earring of gold. Verse 12. So the Lord blessed the latter end of Job more than his beginning, for he had 14,000 sheep and 6,000 camels and 1,000 yoke of oxen and 1,000 she-asses. You and I would look at that and say, that looks like a lot of work. But in these times, wealth was counted with land and animals and things of that nature. In verse 13, he had also 7 sons and 3 daughters. So he had twice as much restored back. But Job was able to give the testimony that he knows the Lord and trusts the Lord before anything was ever restored. Notice back with me in Lamentations. He says here now in verse 22. In verse 22, he said, it is of the Lord's mercy. Imagine this. Now, we've just been through another hurricane. It wasn't that bad, you know. We've had to do some cleanup. It took me about a day and a half to patch some shingles and pick up limbs, and I mowed today. I wanted to crunch the rest of it up, the small stuff. But not been that bad, but we've been through hurricanes worse than that. But imagine Job giving that testimony, and imagine Jeremiah standing in the ruin. Be like somebody standing after a devastating storm. He's standing in the ruin of everything. And here's what he's saying. He said, verse 21, I call to my mind, therefore have I hope. Verse 22, it is of the Lord's mercies. Notice that. It is of the Lord's mercies, plural. Many mercies. They're called abundant mercy in 1 Peter 1 and verse 3. They're called plenteous in Psalms 86 and verse 5. And he says, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. Amazing statement for a man that's been devastated. Lost his nation, lost his temple, lost his city, lost probably family members, lost friends and so forth, and all the devastation. He says, it is of the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed. You see, he was looking at the good side of this now. He's saying we're not all consumed. God has preserved a remnant according to his promise to Abraham. And he also said Jeremiah had told them in the book of Jeremiah, as he spoke to them, it's written down for us in Jeremiah, he told them that this was coming and there would be a 70-year captivity, but you will go back. You'll go back and rebuild the city. An amazing statement. He says here in the latter part of that, he says, because his compassions fail not. He says that we are not consumed. We're not consumed. Notice with me in Malachi just for a moment. In the book of Malachi, the last book of the Old Testament, chapter 3, Malachi chapter 3. And notice with me, I'm coming to verse 6. Now, Malachi is written about 100 years after they came back and rebuilt the city and the temple. And apathy has set in within 100 years. And they were in rebellion, many of them, not all of them. Here's what the Lord said. I'm reading in verse 6. He says, I am the Lord, I change not, therefore ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. In other words, there's that remnant, a remnant before the captivity, a remnant during the captivity, now a remnant after the captivity, 100 years later. And this whole chapter is dealing with the coming of Messiah. John the Baptist is mentioned in verse, not by name, but in verse 1. He's the messenger. And then the messenger of the covenant, Christ, is mentioned in verse 1 also. His coming is mentioned in verse 2. He's going to purify some, and in verse 5, he's going to judge some. And here's what he's saying, as Jeremiah was saying to those in captivity, verse 7. He said, even from the days of your fathers, you're gone away from mine ordinances and have not kept them. Notice here's Jeremiah's message. Malachi's message as Jeremiah. He said, return them unto me, and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. But ye said, wherein shall we return? And then he says, will a man rob God? He starts talking about their giving, their tithing, and things of that nature. And he says, here's one area that you have robbed God and you need to return in. Now go back with me to Lamentations. So God has preserved a remnant. Verse 22 again. He says, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed because his compassions fail not. Even in devastation, even in ruin, the Lord is speaking these words through Jeremiah the prophet. Now notice in verse 23, he said they are new. That is the Lord's mercies. They are new. Notice this. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Now we've got three sermons we've done this year. And by the way, in verse 25, he speaks of the goodness of God. And we did a long series of the attributes of God, and we have spoken of the faithfulness of God, the mercies of God, and the goodness of God, if you need some references on all of that. But notice he said in verse 23, they are new every morning. In other words, they're fresh and they're never stale. They're always renewing. He says here in verse 23 again, they are new every morning, great is thy faithfulness. They're dispensed to us every single day. And they give us each day exactly what we need. And I think there's a number of scriptures that would teach us, even the Lord Jesus Christ's own good habits, is that we should seek those mercies in the morning, the beginning of each day, before we face the flesh, the world, and the devil. We need to get to the place where we've just got to have God. I hear people say, I've got to have my coffee, I've got to have my caffeine, now I've got to have my device, my smartphone, you know. And people check their text before they talk to the Lord, or they check their emails or their Facebook before they talk to the Lord. Before we get into the business of each day, God has promised to us that his mercies are refreshing and they are renewing. He's promised us that when we speak to God and let God speak to us through his word. So don't go through the day alone, amen? Always seek his mercies, because we seek other things. But notice he said in verse 23, they are new every morning, great is thy faithfulness. We just need to seek them. We need to speak to the Lord. Psalms 23:6 says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So these mercies, write these verses down. Psalms 103, verses 8 through 17. These mercies are everlasting. They never end. In Psalm 67 and verse 1, they are to be desired of God's people. Ephesians 2:4, the mercies of God are essential to our salvation. We will perish without his mercy. In Hebrews chapter 4, verses 4 through 16, when we go to the Lord, the throne of God in prayer, we can boldly, freely come before his throne. What we find there is grace and mercy. That's what we find. And then in the tabernacle, in the temple, there was the mercy seat. And that was the place of atonement. That's Hebrews 9 and verse 5. And that was where that God met with man. And what is amazing is that This is the meeting place between God and man, and the blood is placed upon the mercy seat. And in Romans 3, verse 25, the word propitiation is translated, the Greek word is translated mercy seat in Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 5, the verse I just gave you. And so when we speak of propitiation, we're talking about that which is satisfying to God. God is satisfied with the blood of Jesus Christ that was shed at Calvary's cross. He says here in verse 24, the Lord is my portion. Now, think about this statement. The word portion can refer to an inheritance or land or things of that nature. It can also refer to judgment, as in Matthew 24, verse 51. But in this case, he says here, the Lord is my portion. That is, the Lord is our possession. God here is presented as the satisfying possession of every believer. I'll give you a few verses to write down with this passage. Write down Psalms 16 and in verse 5. Psalm 16 and verse 5, he says, the Lord is the portion of mine inheritance and of my cup, thou maintainest my lot. Also in Psalms 119 and in verse 57, Psalms 119, verse 57, David cries out here and he said, thou art my portion, O Lord, I have said that I would keep thy word. Another passage is Jeremiah 10, verse 16. Jeremiah said the same thing as he says here. The Lord is my portion. And then in Numbers 18 and verse 20, as the children of Israel would possess the land, in chapter 18 and in verse 20, here's what we find in this passage. The Lord spake unto Aaron, and he said, thou shalt have no inheritance in their land, neither shalt thou have any part among them. Here's what he said to Aaron. He said, I am thy part and thine inheritance among the children of Israel. God said, I will be your portion. I'll be your inheritance. And so Jeremiah cries out in this verse, in verse 24, and he said, the Lord is my portion, saith my soul, therefore will I hope in him. The land is in ruin. Everything is lost. And Jeremiah stands there and he says, I still have a portion. I may not have my land at this time in my house, but he said, I have a portion, and that is the Lord. And then in verse 25, he said, the Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. The Lord is good. This is the testimony, again, of a man after total destruction and everything lies in ruin. He said, the Lord is good. Write down Psalms 25 and verse 8. And notice with me as we come to verse 26. In verse 26. He says, it is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. When he says here, quietly wait, literally means to be in silence, to be patiently quiet under afflictions and resting in the will of God, under the afflictions that they had went through. In other words, quietly, patiently wait for the Lord. Job learned this. Finally, the Lord set Job down and said, let me talk to you. Abraham learned this, waiting for a child for 100 years. David learned this, and many of the Bible characters, they learned this. You write down with verse 26, Psalms 130, verse 5 and 6, and also Psalms 40, verses 1 through 5. Verse 26 again, he said, it is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. Now, we're going to see some more petitions poured out. We're going to see some more bitterness of soul. This is a tragic thing to Jeremiah and his nation. But still yet, as we come through this book, we see the glimmer of hope. And we see that God is still on the throne. God has not forgotten about them. They're His covenant people. And we see that how that God shows mercy, faithfulness, goodness, and love even when He's chastening His people. And again, He does bring them out of captivity. Would you stand with me? Father, we do thank Thee tonight for Thy Word, the indwelling Holy Spirit. We thank Thee for being a covenant-keeping God. And Lord, as You had promised to Your people of old, and You fulfilled every promise, Father, we know that Thou will fulfill every promise that You've made to us. And Lord, we thank You for that. Help us to keep our eyes and hearts upon Thee. For it's in Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen.